We move to the third part of our meditation, and it's on the second reading, which is Galatians 2, verse 16, and then skip 17 and 18 and read 19 to 21. I might read 17 and 18 so you get the context. And if you're preparing to preach, it might be a good idea to look at it. Okay. So, I'm going to just read a couple of the verses that are not marked for us, but they're quite useful in understanding the context of this. You see, starts with verse 16. In the early part of that chapter, he's telling about the Council of Jerusalem, and then Barnabas and himself coming down, all that, you see. Then how Paul confronted Peter's inconsistency at Antioch. They had just agreed at a council in Jerusalem the Gentiles were not obliged to Jewish dietary laws. And here's Peter eating there only with people keeping dietary laws. And so, as Paul says, when Cephas came to Antioch, I openly opposed him to his face because he clearly was wrong. For until some people came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. When they came, he began to draw back and separated himself because he was afraid of the circumcised. And the rest of the Jews also acted hypocritically along with him, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. So now the Jews are eating in one place and the Gentiles in another. When I saw that they were not on the right road in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, in front of all, if you, though a Jew, are living like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how could you compel the Gentiles to live like a Jew? And then, from that point on, he starts one more verse, he starts addressing the Galatians again, and that's our reading. We know that a person is not justified by works of the law, you see, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, or here, see, by faith of Jesus Christ, okay? Through the faith of Jesus Christ. And we believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified out of the faith, is the way that, I have the Greek text right here. Ex ergo nomo, from the works of the Lord, nobody is justified. And if seeking to be justified by that, we are sinners. And Christ is the minister of sin because he's perpetuating this division. And then it says, is Christ a minister of sin? Absolutely not. Nevertheless, if once again I build up what I destroyed, I establish myself as a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law. And now this, one of the high points of Pauline mysticism is in these verses, the ones I have, we're reading now. Through the law, I died to the law. It was the law who killed Jesus. But that meant Jesus died to the law, and I'm baptized, so I've died to the law. It doesn't have that grip on me. I'm freed from the prescriptions of the law, not the Ten Commandments, obviously, but the practices that have grown up called the hinge around the Torah, the hedge, rather, around the Torah. If I build up what I have destroyed, I establish myself as a transgressor. Now he explains why. For through the law, I died to the law. It was the law that killed Jesus and set me free. You see? That I might live to God. Now he goes on, what does that mean? I'm baptized. I'm joined to Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. Not only in the sense that I've died to the law, but that I carry his sufferings in my own being. You remember where he says, from now on, let no man trouble me. I bear the brand marks of Jesus in my body. All the scars from getting stoned and beaten and the 39 lashes and all the rest. You see, they're all the wounds of Christ. You see? And that's what he's saying. I have been crucified with Christ. I am living, but not really I. Christ lives in me. That is the apex of Christian life, Christian mysticism. Christ lives in me. The life I live now in the flesh, I'm still walking around, eating, drinking, preaching, you know, I live in the flesh. But I live this life in the flesh in faith. Faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up on me. That is when the Christian life really starts to happen. I know Jesus. I know he's the Son of God. I know his infinite majesty, and I know he died like a criminal on the cross for me. You see? So, the life I live now, I don't live in the flesh. I'm not just walking around with all these drives of ambition and lust and anger and pride and all that. I'm not there. You see? I'm still in the flesh. Here I am. But the life I live, you see, is a life in faith. Faith in the Son of God. And who's he? He loved me and gave himself up for me. That's the one in whom I have placed my whole faith, my whole confidence, my whole future, temporal and eternal. And who is he? He's a living, eternal Son of God, and he loved me and gave himself up on the cross for me. Everybody can say that. And when it gets to be a conviction, that's when we change. Why do I go on sinning? Why am I continually an egomaniac? Got to have more money, more food, more blah, 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 whatever. Because I don't know Christ. So what do you do about that? You go straight to the Lord and say, Lord, I have just got to get to know you. That's all. I've just got to get to know you. When I was a little fella, I mean, I could still be doing it. Maybe I do and don't really think of it so much now. I would say to the Lord, Lord, I promise you I'll give up any sin I've got if I can just know you better. That's all I want, to know you. Now, I was a little fellow, 21, 22 years old. I meant it, but I had no idea of the consequences of it. Now, 60 years later, that I do. But it's still true. And that's what he's saying, you see? I live in faith. Faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the graciousness of God. If righteousness is through the law, then Christ died for nothing. We didn't need the death of the Son of God. Just keep the rule. How many Christians are there? Why? Somehow, we've never told them about the love of God, the love of the Father burning in the heart of Jesus, by which he willingly went to the cross. As he said to somebody once, I could hardly wait to get there. Because even though I'm suffering incredibly, I know that this is the freedom of all my brothers and sisters. And so, I do not nullify the graces of God. If righteousness is through the law, then Christ died and didn't need him. Just keep all the rules. Brethren, we have three choices. keep all the rules and then tell God he's got to keep them. And he doesn't. You see? Or forget all about him and hope for the best, which is a very stupid, superficial life. Or come to know the love of Jesus Christ and love him back. Then if we sin, our hearts are broken because we've sinned against Jesus. The life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's Jesus. So, how do we get there? We pray, we ask Jesus, Lord, show me your love. Show me this. Let me see your wounds. Even though I'm not an apostle, and you know, but let me know, win me over so that I love you and I keep the rules, the law. I do what you say because I love you. And so the life I live now, I live in the faith of Christ who loved me and gave himself up for me. By that, I do not nullify the charis, the grace, the graciousness of God. But if dikaiosyne, if righteousness is through the law, then Christ died for nothing. I didn't need him to die. I'm okay. Just keep the rules. Oh, our greatest responsibility as preachers is to let people know, experience the love of God. It's not the same as acting like Jesus is a pushover. If he was a pushover, why did he have to die in pain? No, it's not a pushover, our sin. It's more than that, you see. They're swallowed up in the fire of his love. It's the love we have to get to know. And so, we go and talk to him about it. Lord, I heard this preacher talking about the love of God and love of you and how much you love me. I don't know anything about this. Help me. I guarantee you he will help you. Not like Bing, 2 seconds later you're a mystic, but your life will move and you will be enlightened as to know how to let go of sin and move to God, you see? And then Christ did not die for nothing in your regard. The pain, the humiliation, the abandonment, all the rest, being counted as one of three criminals, all of that, see, in his mind, is worth it. And it's in our minds, in our hearts, we see why it's worth it, because of his love for us. It's so important, you see. And that's why there's a very fine book which wants to date Galatians at the very end of Paul's career. Very few people go along with that. But one of the reasons for it is the maturity of these lines here, you see. I have been crucified with Christ. That means I'm dead to sin. I am living, but not really I. Christ lives in me. What a thrill to know that Jesus is living his life in us, forgiving in us, pardoning in us, preaching in us, loving in us. You see? The life I live now in the flesh, I live in faith. Faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Now that doesn't do away with the charis tou theou, you see, because only by his grace do I know this. So it isn't that I say I believe in you and I'm off the hook. What good it would be to be off the hook and not know Jesus Christ and be stuck in the same sins all over again? What good would that do? None. Change comes in knowing Jesus. And that's why, as that little prayer I still say, but I said it as a little 22-year-old, Lord, I'll trade you any sin I've got. I'll turn it in. If I can just know you better, that's all I want. Amen.